from America's frontier, Nebraska. It's the Outdoor Connection with Rick Windham on News Talk 1240 KODY.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Jeff Rollinson, official friend of the show with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission. How are you doing this morning, bud?
I am doing well. How are you doing?
It's been a while since we've talked, so...
It has. Too long.
Good to have you back. Good to have you back.
Likewise.
Let's jump into this. We, you know, as always, even with COVID-19 stuff and now maybe people getting back into the swing of things a little more, there's always something to do in the outdoor world.
Oh, man. Is there ever. And it's in full force. I mean, certainly with everything we say, we have the caveat with folks that, hey, we are still in the COVID pandemic, and certainly encourage people to recreate responsibly, monitor those social distancing, maintain social distancing, and just use some common sense while outdoors.
I was in that discussion about all the COVID-19 protocols here a while back, and I told the lady I was talking to, I said, you know, I don't mean to brag, but I've been practicing this social distancing thing now for 35, 40 years with my honey.
You're getting pretty good at it, aren't you?
Getting real good. I'm just about like Turpin. I can almost disappear.
Well, in reality, that's funny. In reality, all kidding aside, that is a good point. And a lot of the outdoor activities that we outdoorsmen and women do are naturally socially world while sitting out in the base of a, I was pretty distant from the world while sitting out in the base of a tree turkey hunting this spring, fishing. You know, fishing rods are 5 to 6 foot in distance anyhow. Nobody wants to be closer than a fishing rod length to another angler.
Yeah.
So by nature, you're socially distant. So, I mean, there's just a lot of things in the outdoors that work very well for keeping us safe and allowing us to have some fun.
Outdoor enthusiasts have had it wired for years, man. We knew what we were doing. Speaking of turkey, we just finished up our spring turkey season, which is one of my favorite things and one of Nebraska's longest hunting season. I know they haven't got all the official numbers tabulated, but what are you hearing? How do we fare this year with hunters?
You know, we don't have any official numbers tabulated, but we are hearing that numbers were slightly down again this year. I think permit numbers were up. I think more people turkey hunted or bought, more permits this year than the previous years, and I think that the social distancing and whatnot probably played a big role in that. But numbers slightly down. I noticed that in my turkey hunt here in the eastern Nebraska. But pockets of incredible success, and I would say still one of the most successful turkey hunting states in the country without question. So
yes.
When you say numbers are down slightly, it's all relative. Obviously, we're still experiencing quite a bit of the good times here in Nebraska. But, for example, I might be hunting, in extreme southeast Nebraska and not seeing as many turkeys as I saw last year. And then one of my counterparts, Aaron Hirschberger, is hunting just a little bit farther northwest of Lincoln and having the best season he's ever had. And so, it was still a pretty darn good season for most turkey hunters.
Well, you just got to know where to go. Like in Beatrice, there's the Dorsey Street Gang on the east side of town. 40, 50 turkeys ever boarded out there. And then here in North Platte, we have the 12th Street Mob, which is out by one of the garden centers, Garden Club garden centers there. And they know they're in a no-hunting zone. They're having a good life right now.
Sure. We're starting to see a lot of that, a lot of turkeys in towns that you haven't seen in 10 years, and now people are seeing some of that. So people love seeing turkeys, which is kind of cool, especially in the spring when you got those big toms out strutting. So
yes,
some of that's pretty cool. Yeah, sometimes people in town would look at that and say, how can you not find a turkey? They're right over here. Well, it doesn't always pan out outside of town.
So how were you successful this spring?
Oh, I was. Yeah, I had a good hunting season. In fact, took one of the ladies that works for me out turkey hunting, and she harvested her first archery turkey.
Oh, very cool.
Which was really cool. And then took her son out turkey hunting with me, and a young man in grade school, and he harvested his first turkey, which was cool.
Very nice.
And so yeah, we had some good hunts. I harvested a turkey earlier in the season, and went out with me when we harvested a turkey. So some really good hunts, lots of fun, gobbling and strutting. You know, I always, at the end of every turkey season, I just look up and say, okay, next year, please let me hear more gobbles and see more toms just one more time. I got to hear them and I got to see them. And when I do, when you hear them and you see them, you think, oh, here we are again, you know. So it was a good season. I really enjoyed it. I think a lot of folks who are finding success are realizing that, you know, there's turkeys within 15 minutes of most townships here in Nebraska anymore, and are doing a lot of those, you know, morning hunts, evening hunts, getting out there multiple times, you know, maybe being between work, after work, before work type thing, and giving themselves just that much more opportunity. I always tell people, you know, if you get out one morning and hunt and just say, you know, I'm going to do at least a couple more mornings, that's like having three more hunting trips to your list for the season. Because, I mean, those mornings are golden. And so, you know, make the best of it.
I was a little surprised to hear you say that we sold more permits. And I know we had, because of COVID-19, we blocked out-of-state sales of permits.
Talking in-state permits.
Right.
In-state permits.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we didn't sell any out-of-state permits, that busted two of my camps that I had set up, because the guys come and couldn't get permits, and they were under travel bans as well. So, but I'm glad it all worked out. And
yeah, it really did.
Summer also means that you're fishing. So let's talk a little bit about that, especially kid fishing. Larry Pape would love us to talk about that, so we're going to do that.
He would.
When you're taking a kid fishing, and we're talking the kid like the first turkey hunt, this is like, you know, introduction to fishing and stuff, what do you recommend not only for the people, the adults that are taking them, as a philosophy or stuff, but then also some gear? What do you think about kids should have?
Absolutely. You know, I always subscribe to the KISS method for taking kids out fishing.
Amen.
you know, some of us anglers, you know, we got gizmos and gadgets, and I mean, we're pretty serious at times. And kids just aren't. And we, you know, we got to remember that, you know, kids love catching fish. And a lot of, they don't care what fish they catch. They're not out there for master anglers. They're out there to catch fish. And in reality, that's kind of what a lot of us anglers are out there to do, although we tell ourselves it's got to be a bigger fish every time you cast and all of the kids just want to catch fish. And so, you know, I like to start out with something simple like, you know, bluegill. And I think that is just one of the ultimate, fish for new anglers. I do know that certainly, you know, taking bluegill off the hook can be a challenge at times. And so one of the things that I like to do is make it a little easier for kids to get those bluegill off the hook by using a small long shank hook. So it's a lot easier, a lot harder for them to swallow the hook, the bluegill, and a lot easier for us to get it out there.
Right.
So that's as technical as I'll get. You know, when it comes to kids, have fun. Bring snacks. Bring something, you know, pop or something.
Absolutely.
Make it special. Make it special. You know, I remember a number of times when I was a kid going fishing, and it was like junk food night. I mean, we had the coolest stuff we could eat. I mean, it was, fishing was one of the things we did, but it was just also cool that we got junk food and pop and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, having a picnic out there on the side of the pond or what have you was a big deal. And so, you know, make it fun. You know, you don't have to, you know, get elaborate, but throw a cooler of snacks together and some pop, and, you know, kids will be thrilled. Make it comfortable. Kids don't like standing in weeds trying to catch fish, grass up to their chest, or standing, you know, on rocks that require, you know, death-defying stunts to stay upright. So, you know, make it comfortable. Make sure you bring along some chairs or a blanket for kids to sit on. And, you know, allow them to just dig in and relax and have a little fun. When it comes to the equipment, again, keep it simple. A rod and reel that fits them, a rod and reel that they know how to use. It gets frustrating when the first time they ever touch the rod and reel is at the pond with a hook on it, and it's all hooked up or it's all, you know, tangled up because they don't know what they're doing. So I always tell people, you know, get that rod and reel that the kids are going to use out fishing and put a weight on it and practice casting out in the yard. You know, give them some targets to try to hit and cast to. before you go fishing, just so that when they get out there, they're in charge of their own destiny. Kids love being in charge of their own stuff. And so give them the skills that they need, the very basic skills, so they can be in charge of their own fishing trip when they get out there. Let them make decisions. You know, let them decide, you know, help guide them, but let them decide where we're going to fish sometimes and how we're going to fish. Make certain that, the easiest method for me is worms. And kids love worms. I don't know I don't know what age it is, Rick, where we all of a sudden hate worms and don't want to touch worms. But I've never met a kid that didn't want to sit and play with worms. I mean, worms are cool. And so I like using worms. And for small fish like bluegill or even crappie, you got to, you know, cut those into little segments or pinch those into like little 1-inch or 1.5-inch segments on those hooks. I like to double hook them so they don't come off the hook very easily. And that way you can, heck, a couple worms will last you all morning long almost.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, keeping it simple is certainly the way to go.
When you mentioned hooks a while ago, one of the things I run into quite a bit is I'll run into a young family or maybe a single mom out trying to help the kid fish, and they got the right kind of rod and reel set up, but they're using a hook that's like for shark.
Yeah.
It, you know, you're catching a fish with a little mouth, so use little hooks.
Exactly.
And your long shank hook is perfect. That my favorite is about a number 8 Aberdeen long shank for bluegill.
Perfect.
That gives you something to grab and put out, and then something I do particularly with kids to help them grab that bluegill and not be scared of touching it is I always carry a little towel with me, and they can grab, you know, use the towel to grab the fish, and they're not going to get finned and stuff like that, and it protects the fish a little bit.
Great idea. Great idea.
And it's easy to do. Snacks is another one. Since my boys grew up and we fished, I used to always say the amount of fun that you had fishing with kids is directly proportional to the amount of snacks that you got along. As long as there was a snack, they were still into it. And
yep.
I thought about when you said let the kids have fun, you know, not doing the death-defying balancing acts on the rocks. I used to let my kids in the right places. They had their fold-out little lawn chairs, and I'd let them sit right in the water, and they could splash around on their feet. You know, they're like you said, they're not worried about catching anything. So if they make a little noise, who cares? Just let them
Absolutely.
Have fun.
And that's another good point because, you know, sometimes we get there and we're thinking, okay, this is serious. We're going to catch fish. It's all about catching fish. To the kids, you know, they like catching fish, but they also like a day of exploring and just, you know, having
exactly.
fun at the pond.
Exactly.
Yeah, and don't discount the idea that, you know, an area where there's shallows, where kids can kind of wade in the water and explore and look for crawdads and other critters and whatnot, you know, let them have fun and explore and do those kind of things. That's as much as part of the fishing trip as it is catching, as it is just sitting with a rod and reel catching fish. And believe me, those are the things that bring kids back for the next fishing trip and the next fishing trip. And you're investing time and effort trying to have not just have fun with the family, but creating a new hunt in your fishing buddy. And you know, that's all a big part of it. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's like that old country song, you know, and they think we're just fishing. It's not about fishing. It's about the family fun out there on the water that they can't have anywhere else.
You're exactly right. When thinking back when my boys were that age, the fishing trip lasted 20-30 minutes, and then there was 2 hours of the exploring stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was great.
That's another thing, you know, keep the fishing trips short so that they aren't, you know, out there all day baking in the sun trying to catch fish and whatnot. Break those fishing trips up a little bit where you can. Make sure you have, you know, amenities for comfort like insect repellent and that kind of stuff so that, or those mosquito repellent gizmos so that you keep mosquitoes off kids. You know, that kind of thing can make them a lot more comfortable so that they don't have to focus on, you know, mosquitoes and stuff. They focus on what's the fun stuff, the water, the fish, the exploring, and that kind of thing.
We're going to have to take a commercial break here, Jeff, but when we come back, let's talk about camping hacks. I know you got a few good ones to pass on. So stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Legal Aid Society and other liberal activist groups have been demanding that convicted criminals with health problems, or who happen to be older, be released, be set free, to protect them from the coronavirus. So while law-abiding citizens are made a lockdown, liberal officials have been freeing the bad guys from lockup. New York City released over 1,400 inmates, many from Rikers Island, over concerns the virus was sweeping through the jails. On Sunday, the New York Post reported that at least 50 of the released criminals have been rearrested for new crimes, and then some of these rearrested crooks were released again to protect them. New York's idiotic mayor, Bill de Blasio, addressed the issue at a press conference on Monday and downplayed it. He said only a small number of those released had committed new crimes. He promised the city would buckle down on the released criminals and would supervise them tightly in the future. What, with drones? How's he going to find them? De Blasio also said it's unconscionable, just on a human level, that the criminals who were shown mercy returned to a life of crime almost immediately. It's unconscionable, shocking to the guy. He can't believe it. Mayor, if these criminals you're talking about had a conscience, they wouldn't be criminals in the first place. It's a simple concept. Unless your brain's been taken over by virulent, unconscionable liberalism, which we know it has, which is the big problem. We're so screwed. That city is, anyway.
I take great pride in my lawn, and my Raptor Zero Turn Mower from Hustler gives me the perfect manicured cut I want. With the power, strength, and speed of a professional zero-turn mower, I quickly maneuver around obstacles with ease, allowing me to maneuver around life's most difficult obstacle, time. Hustler Turf Quality Tools, designed to improve quality of life. Find the entire line of Hustler residential and commercial zero-turn mowers at Mike's Motorcycle and ATV Repair at 2220 Prospect Lane, North Platte.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Sunny for today, highs top out near 90 degrees, winds southeasterly 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear, lows drop to 57, winds remain southeast 5 to 15, higher gusts possible. And Saturday, lots more sunshine and highs head back to 90. Weather is brought to you by North Platte Airport with daily jet service to Denver and beyond. Book at united.com.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Jeff Rawlinson with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission this morning. Summertime activities, and we're moving into camping. And, Jeff, I know you got a few camping hacks or tricks and tips that you have. Let's dive into those. What do you got?
Let's do it. You know, camping is just one of my favorite things, and it really is for a host of reasons. And I think a lot of people know that life just slows down when you're out camping. And it's just better when you're out camping. And so, you know, I'm one of those guys that I don't just camp to camp, although I have done that, but I camp because of fishing trips or hunting trips and that kind of thing.
Right.
And so, you know, to be honest with you, just getting out there with family for a day or two is about as exciting as it needs to get, really. And it's just a ton of fun. But some of the hacks that I've worked on over the years, and I'll just share a few of them. I'm all about comfort. And so some of these are just going to be more like guidelines for the Rawlinson family camping, but I'm all about comfort, and so I like to make sure I have creature comforts when I'm out camping. Not one of those guys that's going to, you know, I have slept under the stars next to a nice warm fire on a winter hunting trip, but that's not me. That's not what I like to be. I like to be comfortable. And so pitch in a tent, you know, get the tent up. I like to put a tarp underneath the tent. I like the tarp to be about the size. Just undersized a little bit underneath that tent, so it's not funneling water in the tent underneath the tent, but it is keeping a barrier between the ground and my tent floor. I also like a tarp or a tent cover on top of my tent, simply because I like to leave the windows open. I'm one of those guys. I want those windows open and that cool air at night coming in the screen. I don't care if it's raining or not. And so having a tent cover or a tarp above it will allow you to have that airflow even on rainy nights.
One of my my most often used tents. It's good for about three people with their gear. It's a 12 by 12 and then, you know, one center post up. Kind of looks like...
I've seen this.
Yes,
I've seen this tent. You have.
You have. And then I have a 24 by 24 rain fly that I put up over it. So I've got this porch all the way around it, you know, just like you said. You keep the windows open and the rain off of you, and you don't have to put away wet tents. That's a good tip.
Yeah, I really like that. I really do. I like how you do it, because if it extends beyond the tent, now you've got a little porch canopy that you can sit on your chair outside the tent and relax and talk and have fun, even on a rainy night. So that's good. That's good. You know, as far as, you know, here's one thing that just drives me nuts. You put all those guy wires out when you pitch that tent to stake it into the ground, and then all night long I'm tripping over those darn wires walking around the tent going from point A to point B, and it drives me nuts. And so over the years I've started doing things like either putting like, you know, yellow or orange little, you know, ribbons wrapped on those guy wires so that I can see them in the dark.
Right.
Or better yet, take those old pool noodles and slip them over those guy wires. It doesn't take much of a pool noodle piece, you know, 4 inches, 6 inches in length, slipping over those wires so you can see them at night in the dark, so you're not tripping over them. So that kind of has helped me over the years. Who of us have not been sleeping in the tent? And you're in there at night, you're all cozy, you're in the sleeping bag or on some, you know, blankets, and you're just drifting off to sleep. You're at that point, really, where you just can't hardly wake up. It feels so good to be drifting off to sleep. And all of a sudden, you feel that little thing crawling on your leg or your neck. And you're going, oh, it's a tick. And you're thinking, gosh darn it, you know, I can't just take this tick off and throw it somewhere in the tent because it'll come right back to me. And so what do? You don't want to wake up and go put it outside because now you're up, you know, wake you up. And so... you know, whether it's a cot or my sleeping bag, I like to take a little piece of duct tape and wrap it around the cot leg or wrap it around the corner of my sleeping bag. And at night, if I feel a little creepy crawly or tick or something, usually I just, I grab it and I pull it up off my body and I reach over for that duct tape and stick it on that duct tape, and I don't even worry about it after that. Go to sleep. Next morning, that tick will be sitting right there in that duct tape, and I don't have to get up out of bed.
Oh, I have never heard that one. I like that one. I have a little.
I'm lazy.
I have a little bottle, you know, like a little pill bottle that I put some alcohol in, and if I feel that tick or whatever, I'll pull him off and then drop him in that bottle of alcohol, and I'm done with him. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, another great one. Yep, that does it too right there. And so I like things that, you know, I'm lazy at night. I want to sleep. Things that are just make it comfortable, you know. You know, some people I've seen come to camps with the just lousiest camp chairs I've ever seen in my life. Like the stuff that we were buying back in the 70s and 80s. And it's just like, wow, that's got to be the most uncomfortable spot to sit around the
entire camp. Few extra dollars.
Yeah, you know, we got so many cool camp chairs that fold out and have headrests. And, you know, buy invest in a good camp chair. I guarantee you, when you get everything set up and you're sitting around that campfire at night, in that good camp chair, you're going to just breathe a sigh of relief. Remember I said this. You remember my voice. You're going to breathe a sigh of relief and go, man, this is living. But I've never seen anybody sitting on a stump around a campfire going, man, this is living. They're not. It's just not as comfortable. So good camp chair. I tell you right now, you know, people, you know, all kinds of hacks about how to make lanterns out of a, you know, water and a milk jug or a jar and a flashlight. I tell you right now, the headlamp has replaced the flashlight. I'm making that official call right now on the radio show. The headlamp is king. The flashlight is out. And invest in a decent headlamp. Now, you don't have to spend more than a few dollars for a headlamp, but get a decent headlamp because, I mean, everything you do in the evening or at night at the campsite requires hands. And so a good headlamp, especially, I like to sit around the campfire sometimes and when you're making food, especially, you know, a good headlamp just makes it all the more easier. And make sure the kids have a headlamp. Kids love to have light. Again, they love to be the boss of their own destiny. They love to have light. Light gives them control at night. It gives them a little power at night. So make sure the kids have light as well so that they're in control in the evening, too.
I'll give you one tip. One tip I did with my boys when they were little, and like you said, they like to explore, and night's a good time, but mom and dad still want to keep track of them. I'd give them the little Kim lights, and each one had a different color. So as they ran around out there, it looked like fireflies flitting in the timber, but I could keep track of them.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's a great idea. That's a great idea. I like that.
We have. I was going to say we've run out of time, bud.
Oh no, man! We got about 2 hours worth more stuff.
Easily. So we'll have you back on.
Sounds like a plan.
Jeff, thanks a lot. Folks, have a great weekend, and we'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.